702 in Cape Talk, Dr. Shoma.
Hello, Doctor.
Good morning. How are you, sir?
Always good when I speak to you.
Always good. I love that. I love that. Where does all this wonderful, incredible, unbelievable positivity come from?
The alternative is suicide. That's not prudent.
You're not going four steps. You're jumping straight into it's either life or it's death.
Absolutely.
Very, very clear choices. I'm sure that we are not allowed to advertise this.
What clear choices?
Yeah, no. This is kind of a jump.
You need to remind yourself what your purpose is. And certainly, I must say, I think both you and I get a lot of motivation from this wireless conversations. I love talking to you. But sometimes we have to learn to let go.
Yeah, this is a wonderful topic. Very many people, we are not exempt from this. Nobody of our wonderful listeners is exempt from this. We have situations where we just clutter our lives. That could be, of course, material things. Too many shirts, too many jeans, too many possessions, three cars instead of one. That is one thing of letting go. Then there is the meaningful thing from the past. So there is a gift that you were given by an important person. Nevertheless, it's cluttering your lounge. There's a painting that you really don't gel with, but it reminds you of a particular person. That is a different kind of a thing. Then we get to the very, of course, you know it, difficult stuff, letting go of a friendship or relationship, aunt, uncle, lover, wife, husband. Letting go there is, of course, a huge, huge step and has to be considered with due cognizance of the meaningfulness and how close and central this is defining you, defining your life.
Yes.
So, of course, we can talk about how to let go, but maybe first of all, we got to look at what are the reasons to let go and move on before we go how to let go on, to let go. Have you had a situation, Eusebius, recently where you found the battle of letting go something, some object or some person?
Well, I'm an interesting case study for you, and maybe it will open up some conversation with our listeners. I think sometimes you're not even sure whether you are in the phase where you have to now practice the technique of letting go or whether you can still revive something. I have some good friendships from my 20s that I really valued in my 20s. And occasionally I have a game with myself before I go back on with my normal life, and then I have the game again several months later. And that game, when I do have it, Dr. Shoma, is to ask myself, should I let go of this friendship and regard it as a case of irretrievable breakdown of friendship, or should I try and revive it? So many of us are sometimes stuck in that phase when it comes to relationships with people who mattered at some point in our life, to give them a call or whether to let go before we even talk about let go, what let go means.
Yes, indeed. What let go means is so important. The first question is, of course, what has that, what you have, relationship, past relationship, current, material things, what has it served in the past? What kind of meaningfulness was it? So if I'm asking you to let go of a friendship that existed for 20 years, that's a big, big thing. Ask yourself, what does it serve now? So if that friendship has become negative, cynical, toxic, is starting to drain you, is not serving the purpose, which is called friendship.
Yes.
You know, friendship defines it give and take, equal measures. Mm. So it has a purpose that it enhances your life. And then now, you see, because it doesn't enhance your life anymore. We got to assess, is it worth investing initiative and effort at reviving it, and then look at the chances. So definitely, you got to be very, very, very crisp with yourself. You got to be very truthful with yourself. And you got to ask yourself, the need that I was fulfilling with this kind of a relationship in the past, is it still there, and why am I holding on? There are very precious things in our lives. There could be the jersey from a past lover. There could be the shoes that you bought in New York at a certain trip with a certain person. And now the sole is coming off, the leather is kaput, there are no more shoelaces, and the shoe is saying, retire me. But you can't let it go. So you nail it to the wall to look at. And it smells, right?
Absolutely.
Absolutely. Does it serve you, is my question. So for you, letting go of a past friendship really depends on what weight has it got, what significance has it got. And then Does it go from the roles you fulfill, the role of being a friend, the role of being a radio presenter, the role of being a public figure, the role of being a brother, of being a son, the role to what does it typically change in you? How close does it go to core beliefs? And then if it's gone, can you imagine a life with it's gone? And if you can, you're halfway there. But if you can't, we might have to explore why you are holding on.
Well, let's go there. I think, and I don't want to be vague about it. I mean, let's talk by way of an example. I think sometimes it's because as human, I mean, it's even more simple than this, Dr. Show, but it's really just about pleasure, about happiness, about contentment. If you and I were friends for 20 years, and I think I've let go of you, but someone else who doesn't know that we had a fallout talks about you and you come back into my mind,
yes,
then part of why I might be tempted to pick up the phone again, even though I shouldn't, is simply because we love being happy. And if I have stored deep in the recesses of my mind happy memories associated with Helgo when we were students, before we had our fallout, then maybe the reason I haven't let go of our friendship and regarded it as fixed in the past is because everyone wants to go back to a happy place.
That's very nice to go back to a happy place. My question about the happy place is, does it really exist in real life?
Sure.
Does it still provide you pleasure? And if we revive the happy place, does it have the same taste, color, and sound to it?
Mm.
Or is it now different? We all change. Life changes us, circumstances, age changes us. All of this changes. The sun changes us. So be aware of what
yes.
your needs are now and what does it fulfill.
Mm.
And if you say, hey, Helgo, I'm sorry, we had a breakup, we had a fallout, we had a misunderstanding.
Yeah.
I can now, in my new way of looking at life, in my new maturity and wisdom, look past that because, sure, you're still a lekker guy. Let's go out for a beer
yeah.
and reconnect.
Yes.
That's a wonderful try, isn't it?
Yeah.
Let's and after that, you can say, is it still there or has all relationship behavior, meaning good, bad, meaning accommodation, meaning hearing, meaning listening and giving, if it's gone out of this relationship, then you've got to say, well, I tried, bye-bye.
Well, that's a good point. We've got a couple of callers who are here, but just to tie that up before we take Spushla, one, I suppose Dr. Shoma would also have to be prepared if you take that risk of not letting go for disappointment. I think some of us sometimes go through this when we break up several times before the breakup is permanent. When you realize, you know what, you might go back based on the happy memories, but you had been fooling yourself about the total reality and the reasons why you broke up come back to haunt you 2 days after getting back together. So we have a tendency, I don't know, is there any research on this? Why do we tend to always partially remember the good times and we almost try and underplay the bad times?
On in life, you see, because it's wonderful that the mind, depending whether you're an optimist, pessimist, whether you are introvert, extrovert, all of this complexity of your personality walks into this. And if you live in the past, recently I held a wonderful public talk. I mean, it was wonderful to be allowed to hold it. I don't know how the listeners responded to it, but there was good feedback. So I think it hit home. It had to do with, why are we sometimes unable to reinvent ourselves and unable to move on? That has also got to do with exactly this question. Letting go is a trust in renewal. So I let this go, I make space for new. I let this go, it doesn't serve me anymore. If you are living in the past and you're highly romantic and not realistic, you might be holding on for the very wrong reason.
Mm, absolutely.
I've got to come to terms with you with a here and now, with the reality that stands in front of you, and how much energy have you got each day to reinvent and renew, or does the old maintain you in, what is it called, bum in butter comfort? If it's bum in butter, you're not going to move on.
Absolutely. Spushla, good morning. Welcome to the show.
Good day. Sorry, how are we?
I'm very well, thank you.
Sorry, I just got zoomed out a bit there, listening. I just wanted to ask, in my situation where it's a case of you find yourself that you probably hurt an individual so many times, numerous times, but now you basically reach that point where you're basically trying to apologize and change your ways from whatever ways that you were in, but you find that now, seeing that you're trying to mend things, it's almost like your how you feel is no longer important to the next person. And it's almost like you're always trying to make up or trying to buy their appreciation or acceptance or like that. So I'm caught in between that type of situation where I'm actually thinking I should just clothes shop and just say, you know what, we've tried, let's pack and let's go. And or just basically try fight it through and see if maybe things can get to a point where we start seeing things eye to eye. And mind you, we've had conversations of expressing how we feel about this and that and that and that. And I think from my side, I kind of try to change and consider how the other person feels and try not to do things that will annoy them, I know. But when you find that things that the other person knows exactly about you, but they're inconsiderate about that, you know, it kind of defeats the whole purpose. Then you feel like, am I trying too hard to be in this person's life or what?
Yeah, which are very important. If that person is not privy to your change, if that person has not been told what has changed inside of you, you had no time to explain it, or they were not able to watch it or see it or hear about it, they don't know what has changed about you. They might not know that you've actually reached a new insight, a new point, a new vision of what this is about. And because of that, you might not be received. You might not be welcome because they think you're still the same old, same old. And they are afraid of the repetition of whatever went sideways between you. So they make no room for you. You've got to first of all say, I've changed. Here's my new insight. I'm sorry, but you cannot, Bushla, you cannot guarantee an outcome. Mm. If they want to receive you, if they're receptive, wonderful. If they say, no, this ship has sailed, I've closed this door, you're not coming back in, you've got to be able to say, okay, I've tried, I've given it a good shot, let it go. That is exactly the point of letting go. You try, and you try again, but don't run into and against a concrete wall that is not moving again and again and again, because the person hurt is not the person standing behind the concrete wall, it's the person running into the concrete wall.
Hello, Godfrey.
Godfrey, hi.
Good morning, Mr. Makaiza. Hi, thank you for taking my call, Mr. Makaiza. Really, I just have this fascination, you know. I walk away from anything so long as it has the potential of making you unhappy. No matter what, and when I walk away, I don't even look back. Just to speak, for instance, if a partner can jokingly tell you it's over, I really walk away. I don't even think, no matter if that relationship has been for 30 years, no matter how long, I don't know memories, know what will make me turn back to that relationship. That's the kind of person I am.
Godfrey, I didn't quite get what you were saying because of the sound. Are you saying you're a person who holds on for a long time and tries for a long time, or are you a person that can let go quickly?
I'm a person who lets go very, very quickly.
You make decisions in your head very rapidly, and you see what it is, and then you let go. Has anybody ever accused Godfrey of letting go too quickly, that you're taking it too easy, you're not investing?
Yes.
Yeah.
It happened.
Were these people significant, if I may ask? Were these people very important people?
Yes, actually, I had a girlfriend in the past, and I let it go because she actually told me it's over. And I said, fine, it's over. Are you sure about it? Yes. And I said, fine, it's over. And I never went back. And after a couple of years, she actually came back to me and said, you know what? That day I didn't mean it, you know, but I moved on already. And totally forgotten about that.
I'm sorry to laugh, but
laughing? Give that to me because I can't hear it here.
He says that, he had an ex who didn't mean to break up with him, but by the time she said that she was joking, he'd already been decisive and moved on.
Yeah.
That's how decisive he is.
They don't read the landscape in front. Oh, what a call. Godfrey. Hi, Godfrey. Apologies. Godfrey, yes. Amazing, yes. When somebody is so clear and so decisive. Most people would like to linger a bit. Most people would like to be maybe a little bit diplomatic and let the person come at them again. But if you are that clear and that decisive, you're going to be a hard date to keep.
I think Dr. Sharma is onto something, though. Do you not feel there's a cost to the decisiveness, or do you like the fact that you have that tunnel vision?
No, I think I've got to work on it. I really got to work on it because I'm really so quick, you know. If I turn away, I don't even come back.
Decisive.
Yeah.
Godfrey, what you might want to explore, which is just an idea, which can give you opportunity to more lasting relationships, if you want that, is to look at your frustration tolerance. You sound clear, you sound like you know what you want, and you move on, finished. So you don't give the person they could accuse you of, you don't give me much of a chance. Frustration tolerance is a good thing to learn anywhere in life because, you know, we are now 7 billion plus people on this planet. It's getting tighter, the resources are getting smaller, and we all got to tolerate each other better. And particularly in city life with lots of cars and roads and email and SMS and WhatsApp and all of this media bombarding, you've got to be able to tolerate quite a bit of stress and strain. So if you are frustrated about your own lack of connecting with people for a long time, you might explore how do I increase my frustration tolerance. If you're happy, if Godfrey says to me, I'm happy with my life, it's going to be tough for the others. Full stop.
12 minutes before noon, let's take a break.
702 and Cape Talk, Dr. Shoma.
10 minutes before noon, let's go back to the lines, Dr. Shoma. We've got John with us. How's it, John? Thanks for calling.
Morning, John.
Hi, I'm very well, thanks.
Hi, John. Where can we help?
Hi. Yes, I've got a bit of a tough situation here. I'm hugely conflicted at the moment. My best friend, who's been my friend for most of my life, whom I love dearly, unfortunately, he comes from a family where there has been a history of sexual abuse. Recently, he came to visit us. He lives off-continent, and I have a five-year-old son. From the word get-go, the interaction between him and my son made me feel uncomfortable. And then independent people who were living with us came to say, look, something funny is going on there. Just keep an eye.
Yes.
A lot of red flags were raised. Nothing overtly, but enough people came up to me that I had to give a standing order. He's not to be alone with my son.
Yes.
Recently, and this is my best friend, and recently we had a disagreement about something, and I blew it totally out of proportion so I could break off contact with him. But I miss my friend so dearly. We have a lot of mutual friends. And my friend is now going to my mutual friends and asking what's going on. I don't know what to do.
Yeah.
I don't know what to do. Do I protect my son? Do I tell people the truth that I was afraid? I still am afraid for the safety of my son. I really don't know what to do. And I dearly, dearly miss my friend.
Yes.
I'm so sorry, John.
Very clear. Let me be very clear with you. Protect your son, number one.
Yeah.
Full stop. You mustn't waver. This is your son. Your best friend is fantastic to have a best friend, but if there are red flags, little red lights going on left, right, and center, and it feels uncomfortable inside, and you got the suspicion from your gut, trust your gut. Your gut is saying, what is wrong here? You can now go to a full house confrontation with your best friend and say, look, I really like you. I like our history together, our time together, but this is going to my core. My core tells me to protect my son. And you are right. You are totally right. Your son needs protection. If your best friend cannot come up with clear answers and explanations, I'm afraid, John, you've got to get your son.
Look, I know. Anybody in that situation will obviously try and defend themselves. No one's going to admit they have a problem.
I give everybody a second and a third chance if they demonstrate that they're working on it. Are they working on it? That means there is hope. There is something turning around. There is something that we can look at as a new horizon, a newer way of dealing with this particular situation. But if there is not...
Dr. Schumer, to interrupt you, what I tell our mutual friends who are now asking me, because we were a very tight group of friends since varsity. We lived together in the same house. We, at the time, had nothing. All of us now are hugely successful. And so we've actually come a long way. And now my mutual friends are coming to me and saying, what's going on? And I don't know what to tell them because I don't want to make a mistake and make these very, very serious allegations.
Yeah, no, this situation needs clarification, John. First of all, you've got to go and confront the uncomfortable. You've got to go and ask the essential questions, and you've got to get some clear answers. But let me repeat, you are not, if you don't get clear answers, that's good enough a reason to walk.
Okay.
I know it hurts.
Thank you, everybody.
I know it's not easy. I'm not asking an easy thing. But here it is.
Yeah.
If you don't come to clarity, and you, like what you said just now, huge circle of friends, a network of beings, have become successful, wealthy, climbing, achievements, everything, that is not reason enough not to protect your son.
You're right, sir. Thank you very, very much.
You're welcome. Oh, not an easy one, right?
Wow. Not easy, but I really appreciate the clarity of your advice, Dr. Shoma. I think at some point we probably will have to deal with the following follow-up question that I have for you based on John's call, maybe in a full show, which is that presumably, let's say, and who knows where it will end, let's say John comes to the decision that it is right, he must protect his son, his instincts are right, and that comes first. I assume he must go through the equivalent of mourning friendship.
Yes, indeed. Very nice point. Very nice point. Things start and things come to an end. That is the world. There is springtime, summer, autumn, winter. Things come in seasons. And even if you have a relationship for 30 years, 40 years, why do marriages break at 30 years or even 50 years? You are going to ask very, very, I don't think people take this easily. I don't think people do it just so much as a gut reaction out of no reasoning. You got to trust your gut, but you got to reason it back. So my question is, are you ready to lighten your load? And is the load hurting those that you love more than the situation you're in? And then we come to clarity.
Absolutely. Let's take a final call. Sifiso, good morning.
Good morning.
Hello.
Yeah.
Hello,
where can we help?
Hello.
Hello.
Go ahead, Sifiso.
Yeah, my name is Anton. You know, Dr. Shuma mentioned that you must maintain these relationships only if they serve you. You know, and you rightfully said that we change over time. A lot of things are playing that make us change. I've got a group of friends that I've been friends with for over 25 years. And we've had the discussions with there's four of us. So one out of the other three, we've had the discussions where we felt that we're stagnating. We're not all progressing the same. We're not on all the same lane, and it makes it very difficult to try and maintain those relationships. It makes it difficult to try and break away and walk away. And on my part, there's a sense or feeling of betrayal. You know, where we've come from, it's a fitting thing to use, for lack of a better term, where we've gone through, where we had nothing and we've had everything. And now, I ask myself, and I've also got trust issues, these people that I appear to be appealing now, who happen to be on the same lane with me, and those people who I appear to be appealing to, what is it that they are after? Are they after my progress? Are we all using each other?
So I didn't get that last part, but here I've got to say something very important to you and to our listeners. Human life is not static. Our character and our personality is not static. Life changes our circumstances, stress and strain, relationships, circumstances, money, jobs, no jobs, it changes us. And that way, if a friendship that has existed for 25 years among a group of friends, if they don't change with you, if they don't show adaptive ability, that already is, like what John called, a red flag. We need to be human, fully human. And that means we accommodate and adapt and we renew. And
Absolutely.
That is a perfect way of looking at when it's time to walk or not.
Absolutely. Speaking of which, it's time for you and me to walk, Dr. Shoma.
Till next week. Lekker. Nice topic. Thank
Cheers.
You. Bye-bye.